We read together from the book of Exodus in the 5th chapter, Exodus chapter 5, continuing our progress through the book, Exodus chapter 5, and we read the whole of the chapter. Second book in the Bible after Genesis. Exodus chapter 5. Afterwards, that is, after Moses and Aaron have gone to the elders of the people of Israel and told them that God has met with them, afterwards Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, let my people go, so that they may hold a festival to me in the desert." Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go." Then they said, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Now let us take a 3-day journey into the desert to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God, or he may strike us with plagues or with the sword." But the king of Egypt said, "Moses and Aaron, why are you taking the people away from their labor? Get back to your work." Then Pharaoh said, "Look, the people of the land are now numerous, and you are stopping them from working." That same day, Pharaoh gave this order to the slave drivers and the foremen in charge of the people: "You are no longer to supply the people with straw for making bricks. Let them go and gather their own straw. But require them to make the same number of bricks as before. Don't reduce the quota. They are lazy. That is why they are crying out, 'Let us go and sacrifice to our God.' Make the work harder for the men, so that they keep working and pay no attention to lies." Then the slave drivers and the foremen went out and said to the people, "This is what Pharaoh says: I will not give you any more straw. Go and get your own straw, wherever you can find it, but your work will not be reduced at all." So the people scattered all over Egypt to gather stubble for use for straw. The slave drivers kept pressing them, saying, "Complete the work required of you each day, just as when you had straw." The Israelite foremen appointed by Pharaoh's slave drivers were beaten and were asked, "Why haven't you met your quota of bricks yesterday or today as before?" Then the Israelite foreman went and appealed to Pharaoh, "Why have you treated your servants this way? Your servants are given no straw, yet we are told, 'Make bricks.' Your servants are being beaten, but the fault is with your own people." Pharaoh said, "Lazy, that's what you are, lazy. That is why you keep saying, 'Let us go and sacrifice to the Lord.' Now get to work. You will not be given any straw, yet you must produce your full quota of bricks." And the Israelite foreman realized they were in trouble when they were told, "You are not to reduce the number of bricks required of you for each day." When they left Pharaoh, they found Moses and Aaron waiting to meet them, and they said, "May the Lord look upon you and judge you. You have made us a stench to Pharaoh and his servants, and have put a sword in their hand to kill us." Moses returned to the Lord and said, "O Lord, why have you brought trouble upon this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble upon this people, and you have not rescued your people at all." Amen. May God speak to us through his word. So, to Exodus chapter 5. We left chapter 4 with things looking in a pretty good position. Despite Moses' feeble reluctance to go and speak for God, both to the elders of Israel and to Pharaoh himself, God used both him and Aaron to effect a change in the hearts of the people of Israel that really only God could have effected. People who were crying out in despair and despondency and faithlessness by the end of chapter 4 are people who believed. Who believed that God had heard their cries and seen their misery and was concerned. Who believed that God had indeed promised to deliver them from Egypt and take them into the promised land. As he had promised many, many years before to Abraham and again to Isaac and again to Jacob. And they believed here was God's man, or here were God's men, plural, for the job, Moses and Aaron. Men who had met with God and had spoken with him. Men who were given these authorizing miracles from God. Yes, God is for us. They believed. Something's going to happen. Things are looking up. And then, at the very first attempt at anything, it all seems to go horribly wrong. Chapter 5 is a chapter of things going from bad to worse, when things should have been going from bad to wonderful. Aaron and Moses go in to see Pharaoh. This is the moment. This is the great meeting, the great summit. Everything now hinges upon this meeting, the fate of the Israelite people. And hasn't God said that Pharaoh will let the people go? Isn't God going to deliver us? Yes, these are God's people. And what happens? Bricks without straw. The cruelty increases. Unreasonable, impossible demands are made upon the people. Demands that break their hearts. Do the job, but no resources. Keep your quarters up, but no straw. Go and get the straw and make the bricks. You're lazy. Get on with it. Driven harder by the slave drivers. Things go from bad to worse. Now it would, of course, in a sense, be nice to preach a sermon about bricks without straw. It's a very memorable metaphor, isn't it? And we could wax lyrical, or at least I suppose I could wax lyrical if I was able to do that sort of thing, about unreasonable demands that are placed upon us by our employers. For instance, and of course that would strike many chords of sympathy in everybody's heart, one would think of teachers or people in the health service or whatever, unreasonable demands placed upon us by our employers. Do the job, but sorry, no resources, or at least dwindling resources. And there is much in that which is very rich and which we could ponder at some length. But the real point of what's happening in Exodus chapter 5 is all about how the people respond to the situation. What are the people doing when this bricks without straw ultimatum or demand comes down from Pharaoh? When things go from bad to worse, what do the people do? And so we look at the Israelite foreman and at Moses. It's their part in this story, in this chapter, from which we perhaps have to learn the most. The Israelite foreman, very understandably, approached Pharaoh in verses 15 and 16. They are the ones who have been dragged out from among the Israelite people to be, as it were, the lash and the rod with which Pharaoh will beat the people. So they are caught between, as the Americans would say, between a rock and a hard place. They are caught between the contempt of their own people and between the unreasonable demands of Pharaoh and his slave drivers. And they would feel that situation deeply. They wouldn't want those commands from Pharaoh or from the slave drivers. They wouldn't want to be driving their own people in the way that they are doing. They know that it's entirely unreasonable to ask for bricks to be made without straw, but they have to do it. And so, understandably, they go in to see Pharaoh themselves in verses 15 and 16. And they feel the same lash of Pharaoh's tongue as Moses and Aaron felt. Adding to the lash of the slave drivers comes this devastating riposte from Pharaoh: lazy, that's what you are, lazy. And we see in Pharaoh throughout this chapter and throughout the ensuing chapters that the man has been deranged. He has become inhuman as well as inhumane because of his own sin. As Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go." Pharaoh, who has set himself over against God, who has deliberately and openly dismissed Jehovah, and who in the process is maddening himself and deranging himself. Well, it's up against that man that these foremen find themselves. And so as they listen to this devastating response from Pharaoh, they realize the extent of the trouble that they're in. But what is their response to that? The Israelite foremen leave Pharaoh in verse 20, and they find Moses and Aaron waiting to meet them. And the Israelite foremen do the kind of thing that you and I do almost every day of the week. They take it out on the people that they shouldn't take it out on. They have been given a rough time, and so they take it out on Moses and Aaron. It's understandable that they should have approached Pharaoh. It's entirely to be expected that Pharaoh reacted in the way that he did. It's inevitable that they realized the extent of the trouble that they were in. And it's a typically human thing to do, to respond by taking it out on the wrong people. Just lash out at somebody when you've been lashed. But for all that it's understandable and typically human, the Israelite foremen in this chapter are revealing two particular traits of the people of Israel that were to be shown time and time again throughout the Exodus. And we would be as well to identify them here in chapter 5, because they're going to crop up again and again. And the first trait is what we might call a faithless belief. Think about it for a moment. A faithless belief. Now, we know what it is to believe in God. We know what it is to believe that, yes, there is a God, and yes, He loves me even. We believe that there is somebody, we believe that there is something. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe. That is, we accept with our heads that there is something in all this. Yes, we can somehow or another get our minds round there being God, and Him being as He has revealed Himself, even in His Word. But there is such a thing as faithless belief, and that's what these Israelite foremen were showing. Faith is more than just believing that God exists. Faith is believing in Him, or believing on Him. Faith is committing ourselves to Him. It is leaning upon Him. So I wrote in a minister's letter several months ago, we exercise faith in a chair, not when we believe that it exists, but when we actually sit on the thing and commit our weight to it. Now that is faith. It's possible to believe. It's possible to have it all up here and to have had it up here for years, but it has to go from here down to here, to our hearts, to our wills, to our immediate reactions and to our responses, to what drives us and motivates us, to the very seat of our beings. so that we don't just believe that God exists, but we believe on Him. We commit ourselves to Him. We entrust ourselves to Him. And it was faithless belief that the Israelite foreman was showing. They had learned Jehovah's name, this new name. They had learned it very quickly. They had learned something about God up in their heads. But they hadn't learned to trust Him. They had learned to use His name, yes. And so they started to use His name as a lever against His servants, as some kind of manipulative device to take it out on Moses and Aaron. But there is no trust in God in their response. No faith. No commitment. What the Israelite foremen don't say is, "Lord, this is going awfully, but we trust You. We don't know why it's going so wrong, but we lean upon You. And we've committed ourselves to You, and we know that You've committed Yourself to us, and so we'll just trust You, Lord. We can't see the way ahead, but we will trust You." Faithless belief. And the other thing, and it goes along with faithless belief, is a complete lack of any spiritual discernment. This is a second trait that was to crop up again and again. If these foremen had truly grasped the nature of God's promises that they had heard about through Moses and Aaron, if they had truly believed and committed themselves to the God who made the promises, and if they had truly seen the nature of this 3-day trip into the desert for worship, if they had truly seen that there God was delivering them to take them out, to make them His people and to meet with them and to lead them on into the promised land, if these Israelite foremen had had the discernment to see what God was about, then they would also have had the discernment to see Pharaoh's sin, to see that what was happening to them was because Pharaoh had pitted himself against their God. And so at the very least they might have blamed the right people and not the wrong people. But at the very most, they might have realized that they were caught up in a spiritual battle. God against those who have pitted themselves against Him. And in the midst of that spiritual battle, they might have turned to God for help. Now, in the first place, these problems of faithless knowledge of God or faithless belief on the one hand and a lack of spiritual discernment on the other hand, in the first place, it makes these people very difficult to lead. Moses and Aaron were going to have problem after problem leading these people. But what it does also, and we see it in chapter 5, is it gives to these Israelite foremen no grounds for perseverance. They aren't a persevering people. First obstacle they meet, and they crumple. The first rebuff, and they go scurrying back and start taking it out on their friends, and on the people whom God has appointed over them. The first difficulty they come across, and the whole thing collapses. Where is their perseverance? Where is their going on with God? Where is their simple, teeth-gritting, grin-and-bear-it stickability? It's nowhere. Because what's up here hasn't gone down here. Because their belief is faithless, and because they have no discernment of what's going on. And those are traits that crop up also in Moses. Moses turns to God and says, "Lord, why have you brought trouble upon this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble upon this people, and you haven't rescued your people at all. Lord, what are you doing? Why has this happened? Why haven't you done anything, Lord?" But hadn't God promised that he would lead the people out? Hadn't God himself promised that? And hadn't God actually said to Moses in chapter 4, verse 21, and in chapter 3, verse 19, that Pharaoh wouldn't listen in the first place? Moses, have you forgotten what God said? And have you forgotten that it was God who said it? And so Moses grows impatient with God. "Thank you, Lord, that you've promised to save us. Now I'd like you to do it this morning. I want you to do it according to my timetable. Why haven't you done it? Lord, I expected a blessing from you, and I was there in church on Sunday between 11 and 12. Lord, why weren't you there? Why didn't I get that blessing? Lord, I needed your help. Where were you? Lord, I expected you to do something, and you didn't even turn up to the meeting. Why?" And yet Moses, for all that, is not all bad. In the first place, Moses has been a faithful ambassador of God, has he not? In verse 1, Moses didn't go to Pharaoh and say, "Listen, Pharaoh, this is what I want you to do. I want you to let my people go into the desert." He goes to Pharaoh and he says, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, let my people go." He is God's faithful ambassador. And Moses, when he is stung by the Israelite foreman, doesn't take it out on them, nor does he turn around to Aaron and blame it all on him. Moses doesn't go home to his wife Zipporah and give her a rough time. No. When he is stung, he goes to God. Moses returned to the Lord. And yet, how many of us fail to do that? And then in the third place, Moses is honest. He honestly lets God have it with both barrels. Moses knows that God is not so fragile and so huffy that he has to put on some kind of pretense and politeness with God. Moses is honest with God. He says honestly, "Why?" He complains honestly to God, and he finds, and we'll see it in the next chapter, that God is big enough to take the complaints and gives Moses an answer to his honest question. But these perhaps are some of the things that we have to learn from Exodus chapter 5. Some of the questions that we have to ask ourselves: is our belief merely a belief, or is it faith? Has what we know about God gone from here down into our hearts? Do we discern that when God promises, it is He who promises, and that He is to be trusted? Do we discern that we are involved in a spiritual battle? That there is one who hates God and who hates God's purposes and will do anything to thwart them? And that our complaint, just as our battle, is not against flesh and blood? And do we, like Moses, faithfully do what God has asked us to do? Do we, like Moses, turn to God with our problems, or take them out on wife, children, colleagues? And are we, like Moses, honest with God, honest enough to tell him that we don't understand and we don't know why he hasn't done something? Amen.